Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Any college student who has ever read Albert Camus for a philosophy class understands that he was an existentialist, and his brand of existentialism left no room for God. Flat outright, he was an atheist. Long ago, someone pointed out there are two kinds of atheists, philosophical atheists and practical atheists. Now, the philosophical atheist says he doesn't believe in God because he doesn't think God can exist. But the practical atheist really believes in God down in his heart, but he won't admit it because he doesn't like the implications of admitting there is one to whom he will become accountable sooner or later. And what kept Camus from accepting the existence of God? Primarily, suffering in our world, the problem of pain. With him, it was philosophical. The Silence of the Universe, he wrote in 1951, has led me to conclude that the world is without meaning. Camus, though, faced the same dilemma as did Jean-Paul Sartre and everyone else who holds to an existential position. How do you find meaning to existence without God? The answer is, you don't. So the existentialist tries to find meaning through personal encounters with what surrounds him. But apart from God, there's no real fabric to life, no rhyme or reason. So suicide seems to be the only escape from a lack of meaning. Eventually, though, Camus began to doubt his own premise. "I am searching for something I do not have, something I'm not sure I can define," he told a friend late in life. One of his own countrymen, René Pascal, would have understood what he was saying, because a century before, he said that there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which can be filled only by God himself. But on his way to nowhere, Camus met a Methodist minister at the American Church in Paris, and the two, unlikely soulmates as they were, began to dialogue. Though he had never read the Bible, Camus, according to the testimony of the Reverend Howard Mumma, who was sworn to secrecy at the time, began to read this age-old book that tells of God's encounter with humankind. Furthermore, it made sense to him. When Pastor Mumma told Camus what the Bible says about man's nature, he replied that he had never heard this reasoning before and said that he would have to think on it further. He did, and it made more sense than his world, which had denied God's existence. He also wanted to know what it means to be born again, and eventually asked to be baptized. But as a child, Camus had been baptized in the Catholic Church, so Pastor Mumma was hesitant to rebaptize him. When Pastor Mumma went to the airport expecting to return the following summer, Camus said, "My friend, mon chéri, thank you. I am going to keep striving for the faith." A few months later, he was dead, the victim of an automobile crash. In his early 90s, Howard Mumma told the story in a book entitled Albert Camus and the Minister. Does he expect to find him in heaven? Absolutely. And who can deny that possibility? But how marvelous would it have been if Camus could have gone public acknowledging his confession of faith in Jesus Christ? Somehow, when we get on the other side of the tough questions and death begins to stare us in the face, the reality of God who made us looms far greater than the questions which have separated us from his presence. Should you find yourself in the company of a doubting Camus, do what he did. Read the book and discover what the gospel is about. You will agree the evidence is compelling.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.